Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It doesn't happen every year, but in about half the years, we get two Sundays of Christmas. For liturgical churches such as ours, the Christmas season actually stretches from December 25th until the Festival of the Epiphany on January 6th. That'll be this Wednesday. So since we're celebrating Christmas today, we're going to return our focus to the night that our Lord was born. Luke tells us that on that night, God filled the sky above some shepherds with his angels to announce the birth of Jesus. Now, various artists have tried to capture that moment, but in my opinion, none really come close. But I do particularly like this one. So I know it might be awfully small, and I'd prefer that the angel be a little more imposing, because the Bible's clear that the appearance of God's messengers naturally strike fear and wonder into the hearts of mortals. But what I like about this particular one is that the angel is directing the shepherd's attention to the right place. See, the angels didn't come to get the shepherds to focus on what was happening to them in the sky above them. There was something much more important for them here on earth. The glory of God certainly did fill the night sky, but the angels' mission was to point them to the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ, who would save them from their sins. And that's why, before the rest of the angel choir begins singing, because they can't contain their excitement, one angel appears and says to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." A great joy for all people. God is going to fill his world with joy. A joy that comes from sins forgiven and death defeated. A joy that comes from the promise of everlasting life. And this joy is for everybody, for all people. And it comes again to you and me this morning as we offer our praise to Jesus, who grew up to live and to die and to rise again, so that you and I might be with him forever. The one who was born that night saved you from your sin. And that certainly should give us great joy. But because we've heard this story so often, it's easy to miss out on the strangeness of what's happening. We hear that the angels appeared to shepherds in a field. And we immediately say, yep, they're the shepherds. I've seen them a number of times in the Christmas programs. They're all wearing robes and kind of wandering around. Look like little kids, but those are the shepherds. But why would angels make this announcement to shepherds? Of all people, doesn't it seem odd that it would be shepherds to be told first? In Jesus' time, there were two kinds of shepherds. There were peasant shepherds, and there were nomadic shepherds. In fact, that's the way it is even today. The nomadic shepherds are called Bedouin. And you see them all over the place throughout the Middle East. I won't go into that. But peasant shepherds lived in town. In the morning, they would take their flocks out to the surrounding pasture, and then they would return to the village at night. And that's the type of shepherd that Jesus speaks about when he says that he is like a shepherd who looks for the lost sheep. And when he finds it, he puts it on his shoulders, brings it home, and calls his friends to rejoice that he has found his lost sheep. People knew those shepherds. They were friends and they were neighbors. But the nomadic shepherds weren't from the village. They wandered about from place to place, constantly seeking pasture for their flocks. And then, as now, you might wake up one morning and find them camped with their tents and flocks, and a few days or a couple of weeks later, they'd be gone just as suddenly as they appeared. They were a distrusted class of people, sort of what you might think of when you think of gypsies. They were certainly untrustworthy. Many of them were con artists. They had no permanent roots, were accountable to no one but themselves. They weren't even allowed to testify in court. Those are the shepherds who would have been out in the fields that night. So why is that important? Well, think about it. Luke tells us that Caesar Augustus was conducting a census of the world that he controlled. The Roman emperor was numbering all people. And that's why people were on the road. In fact, that's why Joseph and Mary went from Nazareth to Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. All of the people were being numbered. All of them. Except the nomadic shepherds. They wouldn't be numbered. They weren't numbered among the Roman people, and they weren't numbered among the Jewish people. And yet, the angel appears to them and announces that a Savior is born for all people. God pays attention to the very people that fall through the cracks. The people who aren't numbered by our world are numbered by our God. And the joy that God brings isn't a joy that comes to one person or one certain type of person or to a Jewish clan or to the Roman Empire. It's a joy that extends to all people. Even, and in this case, directly to the people that the rest of the world tends to forget. Sadly, we can also forget that the joy we have is for all people. Our culture wants us to forget that. It wants us to think that Christmas is a small holiday celebrated by Christians, as if the joy of Christmas was intended only for Christians. For everyone else, you have the joy of the holiday season. You have holiday lights and holiday trees and holiday cards. People wishing everybody a merry holiday. Have a good holiday. See, that way you can send Christmas cards to those who are Christian and holiday cards to everyone else. Our culture would like us to think that Christmas joy is limited to Christians. And yet, we heard that the angel said that God intends for the joy of Christmas to be for all people. But not only our culture, even the church can begin to limit Christmas joy. Now, I don't know if you remember, probably not, I mean, it was 15 years ago, but in 2005, Christmas happened on a Sunday, as it does about every 7 or 8 years, and several mega churches across the country didn't have services that morning. Willow Creek in Chicago, Mars Hill Bible Church in Grand Rapids, First Baptist Church in Atlanta, Fellowship Church in Dallas, these mega churches decided not to worship together on Christmas. And the reporters had a field day because it looked like these churches had canceled Christmas. But the senior pastor of Willow Creek explained it this way to a reporter from the Tribune, Chicago Tribune. He said, "We don't see it as not having church on Christmas. We see it as decentralizing the church on Christmas. Hundreds of thousands of experiences going on around Christmas trees. The best way to honor the birth of Jesus is for families to have a more personal experience on that day." But do you see what they did? Christmas was being limited by the church to families. Only people who were in families were able to celebrate Christmas. Those who were single or divorced or widowed, or for whom religion and family just didn't mix, well, those people weren't celebrating Christmas that year. These churches made the mistake of equating the kingdom of God with the American nuclear family. And their intentional attempt that families have a more personal experience that day only made matters worse. Some people wouldn't be with their families that year. And the church, in effect, took the opportunity to celebrate Christmas away from them. Sometimes we can do that to ourselves as well, with or without the help of the church. Our desires for that perfect Christmas can take the joy of Christmas away. At Christmas, like Thanksgiving and Valentine's Day, people work extra hard to make things the way they're supposed to be. We have a picture in our mind, what life is supposed to be, what it's supposed to look like, how people are supposed to act, how we are supposed to feel. And yet all of our desires and all of our dreams can't erase the presence of the sin that remains here in this world, in our families, in our own lives. And sin has a way of tearing us apart, of beginning arguments that often end in an icy silence that makes dinner rather awkward. Sin has a way of ending relationships that we wish would continue as we sit and wonder what it would be like if this Christmas, if that cancer hadn't come. And that's why it's such a blessing to come together as God's people to hear the voice of that angel. When God sent his angels to proclaim the good news of the Savior, who did God send them to? The Roman world was gathering its people. They were all being counted. But there were some who were missing, some who didn't matter, some who would be lost in the shuffle. But they weren't lost to God. They weren't forgotten or overlooked by God. To God, every single human being matters. To God, you matter. He sent his Son to take on our sinful flesh, to bear all human suffering, to die our divine judgment, and to rise to bring new life to you and to everybody. To every person, in every situation, Jesus brings a word of forgiveness. Not just an experience of hope, but real hope. And the joy God brings is for all. And again today, it's for you. Because Jesus has made you a part of the family of God. I'm so glad we didn't cancel Christmas services this year. You know, with the pandemic, it could have been very easy to simply say, well, we're not going to go to that trouble. I mean, after all, who knows how many people will really show up. I'm so glad that we didn't do that. Instead, we offered two services on Christmas Eve and one on Christmas morning. We knew that they'd be smaller than other years, but our intention was to do what we could to encourage more people to attend, people that might stay away from a tightly packed sanctuary. And I believe that played itself out. We had about a little over 100 people here in those two services. Maybe this year, your family went through some really difficult times. I mean, we all did in general. But maybe this year, your family really had some tough things happen. There may have been a divorce, or a death, or a layoff, or some other type of separation that made it particularly hard for you to really celebrate Christmas this year. But God brings you to this place today. Because you're part of his family, and he wants you to hear the voice of the angel. Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. I think that's a message that we need to hear, not just at Christmas, but every Lord's Day. And in fact, every other day as well. Christ is for you. Regardless of what else is happening in your life, one thing is certain. God sees you. He's had mercy on you in Jesus, and in him, you are a member of his family. Amen.